Our final lesson in the idea of stewardship is going to be talking about the stewardship we have as our responsibility with the resources that we have been given by God. We've talked about a number of things that we are given stewardship over: our own bodies, our friends and family, our associates, brethren in the church, and the church itself, our abilities. Last week we talked about our stewardship of time, and time would fall under this category of resources. But as I mentioned last week, as I started working on that lesson, there was just too much to cover regarding time to be able to have the time to deal with resources properly. And so we are looking at resources this morning in line with the idea of our stewardship. And remember, our definition of stewardship, or a steward, is a trusted servant whom the master has delegated responsibility in helping to promote his affairs. And while the parable that Brother Jimmy read for us just a moment ago doesn't really talk about this one being a responsible to a master, it does emphasize this idea of how responsible we are with the resources that God has given to us. How are we using them? Are we using them in a manner that is helpful and pleasing unto God? And so we want to consider that this morning, because as we've noted with all the other things that we have stewardship over, our resources are God's. Everything we have comes from Him. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 14, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you." Think about that for a moment. What the writer there is saying, the one who is speaking, is saying, even the things that we are returning to you, even the things that we willingly give to you, they were yours to begin with. They came from you. They're not mine. The psalmist says in Psalm 24 and verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." Everything belongs to God. And so our resources are His. And Paul tells us, as he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, "Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world." Everything we have, we only have for a temporary time, and we are just exercising stewardship over those things that God has given to us. And certainly, we recognize that what we've been given, we have to use responsibly. The idea of responsibility is inherent in that definition of a steward. And so we need to be responsible in how we use our resources. And first and foremost, in regards to using the things that God has given us in taking care of the business of this world, we have a responsibility to take care of our families. When we look at this rich farmer that's there in Luke chapter 12 and we read his story, maybe some of us are a little sympathetic to him because we recognize it takes a lot to take care of a family. Maybe at the beginning it's a good idea to hang on to some of what he has, to put it up and reserve it so that it's there for us to use through the years. Maybe we might have a lean year, and so we want to have sufficient. And we could go back to the Old Testament and see the example of Joseph giving advice to Egypt, to the Pharaoh of Egypt, regarding the fact that there was famine coming and they needed to lay back through the years of plenty so that when the famine came, they would have sufficient to feed. And certainly that worked out very well for them. And that was the reason for Pharaoh receiving the dream to begin with, is so that they could prepare for that and God's people could be preserved through the famine that was coming. But that doesn't mean that we are to hoard everything and hold it all to ourselves. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." think when we look at what Paul has to say there, the understanding we gain is not just our immediate family, not just our household, but those who are our relatives. We have a responsibility to them. And we need to use what God has given us in a responsible way, whether we're talking about our homes, we're talking about our goods, or we're talking about our funds that we may have. We use them, we have a responsibility to use them to help our family so that they can have the things that are needed. When we talk about things of the world that we have responsibility to, our family is above all else. Now, there is one thing that is above our family, our physical family, and that is God and His family. We have a responsibility to Him. And it's almost impossible to talk about our stewardship of our resources without talking about the responsibility that we have to support the Lord's work. Just as we read in 1 Chronicles, we are giving back to God that which is His to begin with. And we need to have an attitude of willingness to take care of the work that God has given us as a part of His body. We have several passages that emphasize that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul deals with taking care of needy saints. And he tells those brethren in Corinth that you need to set things aside ahead of time so that you can be prepared to give. Now, this was something they had already committed to do. And Paul is simply reminding them of their commitment and saying, make sure you fulfill that commitment to help these brethren. And we even read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 that you ought to set that aside on the first day of every week. And we use that as the authorization for the gathering of the collection that we do, the receiving of funds for the brethren. But more than that, Paul tells them in the 2 Corinthians letter, in chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We ought to have an attitude of desiring to help those who are in need, desiring to take care of the work of the Lord. And be cheerful in regards to that rather than grudging. In chapter 8, verses 1 through 5 of that same letter, he says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints, and this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to the will of God to us. Paul uses the example of the Macedonian brethren and their generosity, their strong desire to help those who were in need. Now, I think sometimes we look at these passages and we apply them almost exclusively to the giving that we do on the Lord's Day as a part of our worship, giving back to the Lord. But what we need to recognize is Paul's talking about a gathering to help those who are needy saints. He's not just talking about taking care of the regular work of the church. These passages that he's using, that we're using here, are in reference to these brethren helping needy among their brethren elsewhere. It's like we might do if there were brethren that had a hurricane come through, or fires, or tornadoes, or as going on over in the Philippines, the earthquakes that are happening over there, and the needs that brethren have in those various places. If we, like the Macedonian brethren, have excess, like the Corinthian brethren have excess, we ought to be willing to give of that to help those who don't have. That's one of the points that Paul makes when he talks about this. You've got an excess of this and they don't. Return to them some of the generosity that they gave to you in sending the gospel to you. When we talk about what we ought to return, how much, what's our responsibility in these things? Remember, it all belonged to God to begin with. In Mark chapter 12, verse 40, Mark chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 we want to look at first. Mark chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I think this is a parable we don't often look at in regards to this idea. Certainly, I recognize Jesus has a teaching he's putting forth here, and it is the teaching that the Jews would reject the Savior. But in Mark chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a pit for the wine press and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season came, he sent a servant to the tenants to get from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. Take note of what this is saying. This owner of the vineyard expected to receive of the proceeds of that vineyard from his stewards, those he had lent it out to. It belonged to God to begin with. And then we have the story later on in that chapter, beginning in verse 41, of the widow, who, as Jesus watched so many who were rich giving in, and then that widow gave in her 2 cents, or her 2 mites. And there he said, she has given all that she had out of her poverty. We need to have an attitude of wanting to take care of the Lord's work. We see that illustrated in Acts chapter 4. When we read of the first century Christians who, recognizing a need among their brethren, they took and sold some of what they had and brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet, Barnabas being one of those. If you continue on into chapter 5, we see there were others who wanted to look like they were doing that, but they really weren't. They were keeping back a part of it for themselves, Ananias and Sapphira. We remember their story. Oftentimes we can turn back to the things that were commanded of the Jews to help us to get an idea of what God expects for us. We read in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 4, "See how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils." We read in Genesis chapter 28 of the vow that Jacob made, that if God would protect him and keep him, he would be his God. He would give himself wholly to him, and he would give to him a full tenth of everything that he had. And certainly, the instructions we have throughout the book of Leviticus regarding the things that Israel was to give back to the Lord, and the mention made of the tithe of the land and of the seed and the fruit of the trees, it all belonged to the Lord. It was to be given back to the Lord. But you know, we don't have a set amount given to us in the New Testament Scriptures. There's nothing in the pages of the book of 1 Corinthians or Romans or Galatians or Ephesians or anywhere in the book of Acts where we see these things being taken up that says, okay, all you brethren have a responsibility to give this certain amount. The instruction we have is to remember that it's God's and to cheerfully, willingly give back to the Lord from what He has lent to us, so that God's people can be cared for and taken care of, and so that God's work can be carried out. As I said, if you're going to talk about stewardship with resources, you can't avoid talking about the responsibility we have to care for God's people and even the returning to the Lord that we have on the first day of the week that's instructed in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. But let's understand, that's not the only thing that the Scripture talks about we have responsibility with in regards to using God's resources properly and responsibly. Throughout Scripture, we have instruction time and time again that we are to share with others, particularly with those who have needs. In fact, in that great scene of the judgment that we read of in Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, take note what it is that Jesus makes reference to in regards to those things that separated the sheep from the goats. What were the actions? What were the abilities? What were the things they did? Well, the righteous answered him in verse 37 beginning, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, As you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. What separated the sheep from the goats? Whether they took from the resources that God had given them and used it to bless those who were less fortunate, to help those who were in need, in particular, those of their brethren. Whether we're talking about, as we mentioned a moment ago, giving funds to help someone, or whether we're talking about sharing food and clothing with those that are in need, many of us have gardens of one sort or another. What do we do with what we get out of our garden? Well, we can it and we stick it back in the cabinet back there so we'll have it to eat in the winter. Aren't those resources God has given us? Shouldn't we be taking of those and assisting and helping those that are in need if there are those that need it? What about the closets full of clothes we have? The cabinets full of dishes. What about all those things that we have excess of, and then we find out there's somebody that has not enough? What ought we to do? See, it's not just the sharing of funds, it's a sharing of our resources. We have a responsibility to assist those that have a lacking. And we never know what the end result might be in reaching those people. I'm not just talking about our brethren here. I'm talking about reaching out into the world among those that are needy. And I realize there's a strong possibility we might get to somebody that really doesn't have a need, that's abusing what they have. That may be the case. But you know, we've got to leave that in God's hands. We're given a responsibility to help those that are in need. And as I'm sure all of you feel as well, I don't know of any situation where there are children that are in need, that it's the children's fault that the resources are being abused. There may be. But it's going to be very rare. Do we have things that we can use to help others that are in need? Maybe even to the point of contributing to some of the community services that are available. There again, I know we've got some concerns we may have in regards to some of those. But there are some charities and some community works that are being done that we can assist with. Isn't that a part of returning back the resources God has given us to help those that are in need? Isn't that part of being responsible with our resources? First and foremost with our family, certainly. But if there's others we see have need, and we can supply that need, don't we have a responsibility to do that? In Luke chapter 6, verse 37 and 38, Jesus says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." When I read this verse and think of an application where this verse would be useful to me, I think of when I'm in some sort of responsible situation where I'm going to be maybe selling to others, or I'm going to be giving to others in need. And I think of how sometimes we, maybe in giving produce, we put a bunch of things in a box and it just kind of loosely in there and we hand it away. But if we take that box and shake it a little bit, you ever feel a bushel basket full of peas and it's just overflowing and you say, "Dad, I got this basket full," and he walks over to it and he shakes it a little bit and you find you only got about 3/4 of it full? Yeah, I've done that. Dad said, "Fill that basket up." You shake it, and it fills up even more. Well, if I'm selling to someone, do I want to sell them a basket that's 3/4 full? Or am I going to sell them a full basket? And of course, this works if we're dealing with selling cars. if we're giving away things to people that help? Do we just give away the bare minimum to make ourselves feel good? Or do we give in such a way that it's truly helpful and beneficial? If we have the kind of attitude that God has toward rewarding us, we're going to put forth our best effort to reward someone else. We're going to give them a great value. Not just like Walmart's great value, but a real great value. We're going to use the good ingredients. And we're going to give a full measure, maybe even falling out in all of our dealings, whether charitable or otherwise. This needs to be the attitude that rules us. Certainly, part of the principle that's taught there is when we use that kind of responsibility, that kind of attitude in giving to others, we will receive back in a similar manner. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, the Apostle Paul said, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He Himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders here and how he had worked to take care of his needs while he was there. And he had demonstrated the need to work not just for self, but work so he can help others. And if it, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18, they're to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Are we ready to share with our fellow man? That's a part of being responsible with the resources that God has given us. In fact, Paul goes so far when he writes to the Ephesian brethren to tell them in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." Not only is the thief to stop stealing, not only is the thief to start working to take care of himself and his family, but he's also to work so that he can have to take care of those that are in need. And I know sometimes when we think along these lines and we consider this idea of, hey, I worked hard to earn what I've gotten, but God's telling me I need to give part of it away. We start thinking about some of the ideas that some of the folks out in the world have. We equate them with socialism and communism and things of that nature. We're not talking about going to that extreme. But we do need to recognize that when God has given us plenty, and even more than we need, we have a responsibility to return some of that back. Yes, maybe I did work hard in order to earn that $100. But I only need 75 of it. And really 75 is going to be kind of generous with what I need to do. Why can't I take that other 25 and give it to somebody else? Somebody said, "Wait a minute, Dan, that's more than 10%, isn't it?" Well, yeah, it might be. But if it's excess anyway, if I'm taking care of my needs and my responsibilities, what's wrong? In fact, wouldn't it be right and just for me to take of that which I've got excess and give it to those that are in need? There again, I recognize there's a lot involved in that. We want to be careful that we're not wasting God's resources, giving them to folks that's just going to waste them and destroy their lives with them. But we still have a responsibility to use God's resources to share with others. We also, and I've got one scripture here for this, but it's a big topic. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, Paul says, "Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." When he writes, or when John writes in his epistles, in the latter two epistles, he talks about how he has joy, especially when he talks to, Gaius in 3 John. He has joy to know that Gaius has shown hospitality toward those who had come through, who were going about preaching and teaching the word, and Gaius had given them hospitality, had provided them with things that they needed. We have a responsibility to show hospitality, not just to our brethren. First and foremost, we have that responsibility to our brethren. But we need to show hospitality to all. You know, sometimes when we start thinking about the good old days, you know all about the good old days, right? They were just before you were born. That's what your parents all talked about. That's what the great days. When you were born, it started going downhill a little bit. It wasn't quite so good anymore. But back in the good old days, if somebody came traveling through, they didn't have to go find a hotel room. Somebody had a room they could stay in. Or folks would invite people over just to have a meal. Come on over to my house and we'll eat lunch together. Or come over and see us. We're going to have a big meal tonight. Why don't y'all come over and spend the evening with us and we'll eat and we'll enjoy one another's company. I think there's two sides to this. We're supposed to show hospitality, but we're also supposed to accept hospitality. Sometimes we're not all so good at that. Sometimes we go visit with somebody and they say, why don't y'all sit down and eat with us? No, we got to hurry up and get back home. And maybe we need to work on that a little bit, to be a little better about that. We also need to open our homes up, not just to our brethren. Imagine the effect that you might have in your community if you opened your home. I'm not saying you have to invite everybody in the neighborhood to your house at the same time. I'm not even saying you have to invite everybody in your neighborhood to your house for a meal. But what if you opened your home and made people in your community know that your home was a place where they were welcome to come, to talk, to visit? Or maybe spend a little time talking over that fence between you and your neighbors instead of hiding behind it. We're to show hospitality. What does the Scripture say? Thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you're going to have an angel show up at your house and you won't know it. I don't think it works that way anymore. But think about what might be the end result of showing hospitality, showing friendliness and kindness to those that live around us or to those that we work with, those that we have things in common with, inviting others into our home. I think showing hospitality also would include helping folks get to doctor's appointments. Maybe pushing their trash can out to the road for them on trash day. Raking their leaves. There's all kinds of ways. And some of these get into what we talked about last week and a couple of weeks ago, talking about time and abilities. But God has given us our homes. Are we using them in serving Him? Are we giving back to Him of those things? Certainly. When we talk about this idea of using God's resources, we also have to touch on the fact that we oftentimes abuse or misuse those resources. And we've touched on that just a little bit in looking at some of these things. But when we put our trust in our riches, we put our trust in the things that God has given us, we're not using God's resources responsibly. We're hoarding them. We're more like that farmer who built barns so he could hang on to what he had. In Psalm 49, beginning in verse 5, why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. Truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations. Though they called lands by their own names, man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beast that perish. Or maybe it's easier to understand when we look at what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Our hope is not in the things we have in this world. Our hope is in God. At least it ought to be. And once we have placed our hope in God, it becomes that much easier to use those resources to help others. And we do it with pleasure. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. You know, it does neither one any benefit if we invite somebody, if I invite Bill and Joyce over to the house for supper one night and spend the whole time complaining as we're getting ready, I've got to do this and I got to do that and I didn't get, and I'm not able to take care of this because they're coming over and I can't sit down and watch my regular TV show tonight because they're going to be over here. I'm going to have the wrong attitude and hospitality is not going to be demonstrated very well. Just because I let them in my home doesn't mean I'm being hospitable. When we're grudging, each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That applies to much more than our contribution on the Lord's Day. If we put our trust and hope in money, we find ourselves in a very terrible place. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, those that desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires, and plunge people into ruin and destruction because the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. The love of the resources and things that God has given to us will lead us to sin. Guaranteed. We need to put our trust in God, not in the things that God has blessed us with. Verse 21 of Luke chapter 12, after that parable, the closing statement of Jesus, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. How? His soul is required of him, and all those things that we trusted in, they're left behind. They belong to someone else. Why don't we take the things that God has given us and put them to use in His service so that He can receive, as we read the last part of that parable in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 27 when He's talking to that one guy that took his talent and hid it in the earth. You ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. When we take what God has given to us and we use it responsibly in serving Him, whether we're talking about helping the saints or helping those who are in our community, whether we're talking about our funds or we're talking about our abilities or we're talking about our time, our homes, our cars, even our very bodies, we return it back to God with usury, with an investment. Because the work of God will not return void. There's benefit when we do God's will. We need to be careful in using God's resources and make sure that we put our trust in God, not in ourselves or the things that He has given us, because we will be held accountable. Paul told Timothy that if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content. The parable of the sower gives warning of those who put their trust in riches. They become choked out with the thorns and cares of the world, and they lose their souls. In verse 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, again, as we looked a moment ago, we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out. Every resource we have is temporary. We need to take them and do good. Be rich in good works. Be generous and ready to share, storing up treasure for ourselves as a good foundation for the future so that we can take hold of that which is truly life. We need to take what God has given us and invest it into His service so that we can have treasure in heaven. Because God is going to hold us accountable to how we use what He has given us. That's why it's so difficult for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because a rich person is much more likely to put their trust in riches and their hope in riches and in gain. Sometimes in talking about these sort of things, folks will ask, well, what would you do if you were given $1 million? All of us probably thought about that at some time or another. I don't know who said this. I didn't look it up. I've heard it all my life, though. It's been around for a long time. What we need to consider is it's not what you would do with $1 million if such should be our lot. But what are you doing now with the dollar and quarter that you've got? God doesn't ask us, okay, if I gave you lots of money and lots of time and lots of resources, what would you do with it? God asks us, here's what you have. It all came from me. What are you doing with that? It doesn't matter how much or little you may have, whether we're talking about time, abilities, our body, our resources, any of those things. What matters is how we are using them. Are we responsible stewards of the things that God has left in our charge? We are caring for His affairs, you know. What are we doing with the Word? With the knowledge and the wisdom that we gain from study? Are we holding it to ourselves or are we using it to help others to grow? What are we doing with our time? All our other resources and abilities. That's going to be a part of what we're asking on the day of judgment. We stand before God and He looks down at us and says, okay, you obeyed the gospel. You became a child of God. You accepted my will. You said, I will do what you want me to do. And then you spent your life making sure you had enough to take care of yourself comfortably and to take care of your family. And didn't spend much time talking to others about the gospel. You spent hours upon hours doing this or that or the other. And spent very little time talking to others about salvation. You got a home that was welcoming. And you had people in your home, but you spent time talking about physical things rather than spiritual things. Is that what we're going to hear on the day of judgment? Because how we're living today, what we're doing with what God has given us right now, is going to determine where we spend eternity. If you look this morning and find things in your life that are remiss, you've been remiss in using what God has given you, we urge you to correct that. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. And He's promised that if we will truly turn from those sins and seek forgiveness, He will grant it. We'll be holy and pleasing and purified in His sight once again. But it takes commitment each and every day to continue that in order for us to get to heaven. If you look this morning and find you lacking, if we can assist, why not come and we'll stand and sing for you.